Just because you grow up on a farm doesn't mean your dream is to take over the farm when your parents are ready to retire. In fact, a majority of American farm kids do not want to be the next generation of farmers. And that becomes a real issue for the farmers late in life. Advice on farm and ranch succession is easily obtained. The Oregon Farm Bureau offers free sessions on the issue. In fact, we have the entire panel from the next Farm Bureau event here with us by phone. Maria Schmidelkoffer is an attorney at Schwab, Williamson & Wyatt. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you.
Diana Turney is an accountant and farm succession coordinator at the Clackamas Small Business Development Center. Welcome, Diana.
Good morning.
Mark Wickman is with us. He's founder and counselor at Family Business Council. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And our fourth guest is Nellie McAdams, who is on the staff at the Oregon Agricultural Trust. Nellie, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
In fact, Nellie, let's start with you. How big a concern is there about succession?
Great concern. Right now, the average age of farmer and rancher in Oregon is near retirement age for any other profession. So we anticipate that about two-thirds of Oregon's agricultural land will change hands in just a matter of 20 years. That's 10.5 million acres, and the fate of that land is uncertain. As you said, we don't know if family members are coming back to the farm, and it's becoming more difficult for first-generation farmers to begin in this profession.
All right, so we have a lot of new people going to come into it, it sounds like.
We hope. The thing is that it's very expensive to purchase agricultural land and to start as a farmer or rancher, unless you have the fortune of inheriting that. So some farmers and ranchers are thinking about non-family succession and passing it on to someone who has a passion for it, but just might not have had a farm in the family.
Diana Turney, since you're involved in farm succession as a coordinator at the Clackamas Small Business Development Center, how do you help coordinate farm succession?
So we've developed a program, and it actually lasts the majority of a year. And we go through the different aspects, and we work with each farmer and rancher and educate them on different options, and then have coaching and private counseling sessions with them to explore their particular circumstances privately. And I have several dozen farmers that are joining us throughout the state of Oregon and some that are joining from other states now. And I find that they're really sweet people that want to really, you know, maintain ag, but also pursue their next chapter in their lives. And it's really a privilege for me, and I think it's probably one of the most rewarding things I've ever done.
Maria Schmidelkoffer, is there a bunch of paperwork involved with the farm succession process, whether within the family or not within the family?
There is. From a legal standpoint, we're looking both at what you need for your organizing your business so that it runs like a business, because a lot of times farms might be run still by the first or second generation person that started it, and it hasn't been formally organized. And so in order to get it ready to pass it on to the next generation, we need to take a look at all of those documents and make sure that they have the right language in there so that it can be passed on. And then along with that, we create an estate plan that will dovetail with that business plan. So there's wills and trusts involved with making sure it can pass on as well.
It sounds like a pretty good-sized pile of paperwork then.
Yes, I've always said that, estate planners should have to plant trees one day of the year or something like that, because we have lots of paperwork.
Indeed. Mark Wickman at the Family Business Council, what happens when the kids are not interested? I mean, what kind of situation does that put the parents in when they want to retire?
Well, I'd back up just a second and say a lot of times we live in a world of assumptions where we haven't had these conversations. I think mom and dad sometimes assume that somebody's going to take it over, and they haven't had the conversation where maybe one of the kids wants to go be a teacher and a coach. So have the conversations first, put those on the table, and then you look at your options. And I believe it was Nellie was saying that we're looking at a lot more non-family succession plans, and we hope that the family is interested, but if they're not, then we have to pursue one of these other options.
That's interesting, though. It sounds like the assumption is made in a lot of cases from what you're saying. So you know, it'll get the pretty far along in life, and then suddenly the conversation happens, and the next generation says, you know, I really don't want the farm.
And the opposite occurs at times. Someone goes off. I was visiting with a dairy farmer last week, and one of his daughters had studied accounting and then went off and practiced accounting, but then years later wanted to come back. Fortunately, there was a position available. But once again, if those conversations don't take place, then we're making decisions in the void of assumptions.
Farm and ranch succession, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange with Mark Wickman, Nellie McAdams, Diana Turney, and Maria Schmittelkoffer. You can join the conversation with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I don't know who's best equipped to handle the question, but how big do Oregon land use laws loom in this issue? Is farm succession a bigger issue in Oregon because farmers generally can't sell their land for development?
I can take a stab at that question. This is Nellie McAdams. While Oregon has one of the strongest land use programs that protects agricultural land at agricultural value, it really only slows the pace of that development. I think a greater concern is the long-term loss of that agricultural land and our agricultural economy. In the past 5 years between the two USDA agricultural censi, we lost about this, the equivalent of 3.5 Portlands of agricultural land from production. So that land isn't all developed, but some of it has been taken out of production, maybe because of the lack of a succession plan. And it's a great concern towards the health of our ability to grow our own food into the future. The land use program helps protect this land, but it alone is not sufficient.
So are there, in some cases, farms laying fallow at the moment, not in production, but also not being converted to anything else because the owners got out of the business and the property hasn't been sold or just sitting there in limbo?
That is the case for some families. In some ways, some of the reporting might have been skewed because hemp and cannabis are in a gray area for reporting to the census, so that might account for some of that land. And some of it might not be in use. But the 40,000 acres that are in the Portland metro area were likely fragmented and put into small residential development. That means that it's probably taken out of agriculture permanently.
Okay, so not going to come back. So other situations here. Maria Schmittelkoffer, I'll direct this to you. What if the kids do want the farm or not, but siblings can't agree? There's a great case of this recently with the Alpenrose Dairy case in Portland.
Sure. I think that is probably where I spend a lot of my time, is developing a plan that is not going to increase family tension. Because many times in families, there might be one or two children that want to farm and the other ones do not. And so the question is how do we transition a farm to the farmers and make it fair for everybody? And there's an established principle, I think, in succession planning that fair and equal are not always the same. And that can be really difficult for non-farm family members to hear sometimes. But we'll have a series of meetings, and I think a lot of times the children want to honor and respect their parents' wishes. And a lot of parents, their biggest desire is to make sure that this farm can continue on to the next generation. And so figuring out the way to do that in a fair way is key in all of these documents, because as you can see in some of those popular cases in the news, that a poor succession plan, there's nothing like it to tear a family apart, and you just don't recover as a family from that. So my mission when I'm doing this is to try to keep the family together so that they can have Thanksgiving together in future years when the parents are gone. And so that can be tricky at times, and it can really involve a lot of discussions with the family before we put pen to paper.
Maria, even where everybody agrees, is it still a process that takes a lot of detail and a lot of time?
It does, just because sometimes they'll think that they have a good estate and succession plan in place, but it needs to be reviewed to make sure that it's clear and there can't be any ambiguity. And trying to determine the best way to navigate through estate taxes and capital gains taxes to pass it on can be time consuming, but it's a lot quicker when we already know what everybody wants to do and we understand where everyone's coming from.
That would help a lot. Mark Wickman at the Family Business Council. How do you direct families to try as best they can to get the emotions out of the process? Now, granted, we're talking, you know, this is your life, your home, all that stuff. But do you try to get them to push the emotions aside?
We try and get people to establish some sort of what we call a beachhead, where we can find areas of agreement and then build on that. Usually, when I get involved, it's because they have disagreed vehemently and maybe aren't talking to each other. So our belief is that if we can get people to the table on these key issues, we can and can keep the conversation going, we'll get somewhere. But getting people to the table, or particularly the elder generation, they're so busy working, they don't necessarily perceive the issues that are going on amongst their kids, and whether it's sibling rivalry or different agendas. And so the challenge is getting people to the table and realizing that they need some help with those conversations. Mom and dad have to become participants rather than the facilitators in those conversations.
You know, we do hear how difficult agriculture work is. I mean, is part of the issue that mom and dad do spend so much time with their head to the farm and don't look up and realize that the world is changing around them?
I think that's part of it. And I also think that if there are farmers who are introverts, it's easier to stay in a tractor all day long than talk. And so some of these conversations are simply avoided, and we kick the can down the road and then end up in what we call the ditch or messes that are at certain points we've gone too far. And so our belief is that we want to communicate early, often, and clearly.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about farm and ranch succession with a panel set up by the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. This is actually the entire panel that'll be at a session at the Salishan on Tuesday, December 10th. We are talking to Mark Wickman from the Family Business Council, Nellie McAdams from the Oregon Agricultural Trust, Maria Schmidelkoffer, who's an attorney at Schwab, Williamson & Wyatt, and Diana Turney, who is an accountant and farm succession coordinator at Clackamas Small Business Development Center. Your questions and comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Diana, do you get situations where the kids do not want a farm, but they do want the property for its value?
Sorry, if you could repeat that, please,
I'd appreciate it. Okay. Do you get situations where the kids do not want to farm, but they do want the property? They want its value.
Yes. And so in our program, we work through finding out, first of all, what the farmer really wants and what their needs are. And then when we move through the process of exploring what they want, then we work backwards to how to make that happen, whether it's with a family member, a key employee, or perhaps a neighbor or someone even they don't know. And so as you work back through the process, you find out all the uniquenesses of the property, what they are growing. And to be really honest, many of the farmers that I work with and the ranchers, they've become older and they've tried very hard to continue operating as they did in years past. But the truth is, we all slow down as we get older. And perhaps that means that the revenues have gone down or the farm or ranch has fallen into disrepair. And so I try to align resources to help them explore what their options are to bring it back into a fully productive state and to help them re-envision how to get the farm or ranch to get a fair price for their property and for their future. And that takes work. And yet the thing I think that's most amazing about farmers is they're so resilient and they work hard and they really have a heart for the property. We call it tied to the land. And I find such a genuineness in these people. And it's my privilege to work with them in our program. And I've seen so many success stories. And so that's where I'd like to leave people is to know, get started. Don't wait. There are options out there and start today.
So the same ingenuity that gets farmers to take care of their own situations with, you know, bad crop years or having to fix their equipment, it sounds like that same level of adaptability comes to the process of succession as well.
Yes, it does. And it can actually be such a weight off of people's shoulders. Like Mark has mentioned, you know, there are challenges, and Maria, in dealing with it. There is stress that comes with all of those issues. And if you fail to address it, it just gets worse. And I think succession planning allows you to have a voice in how you'd like to see things done.
Nellie McAdams, has the wave peaked yet, do we think, in Oregon? Or do we have years ahead where even more and more farmers are going to need to retire and think about succession?
I think more people will enter farming when it is more financially viable for the farmer or rancher. And I do want to emphasize that many farm children do want to come back to the farm. They might not see it as being financially viable, or they might not, as Mark said, have had that conversation with their parents where they've expressed that desire. I'm third generation on my family's farm and fifth generation in our valley. And being a part of our farm and being the next generation on my farm is extremely important to me, both as a business venture and as continuing my family's heritage. And I think that's the same for a lot of different farm families. And sorting out these emotions can be a big piece of just beginning succession planning and having that confidence.
Mark Wickman, does this panel travel together a lot, or is this going to be your first joint session on December 10th?
I think some of us have done some work together in the past, but if I'm correct, this is the first time all four of us will be together at the same event.
I do have to wonder if when you give public sessions like this, if people come up to you after them and want to start a process right then and there, or it's like, can I have your card? Can we get this going?
Yeah, and sometimes that they are looking for the magic pill. Help me get this done and help me get it done now. And as others have shared, it's a lengthy process. It's never too early to get the process started.
I was reading that 2/3 of the next generation do not want to farm across the country. Is that about the figure you're looking at in Oregon, Nellie McAdams?
I would say it's difficult to tell. Again, those conversations haven't been had. And if you ask farmers in Iowa, 80% will say that they have a succession plan and only 20% will identify their successor. But their successor might be their niece that they haven't talked to yet. It might be their farm manager. So, you know, while that number sounds stark, I think a lot of farmers and ranchers are looking towards non-traditional transitions of their farm and ranch to someone who's really passionate about it, but just might not be the oldest son.
We can close on an email here from somebody who has experience in working with Mark Wickman at Succession Plans. Pat says, I'm currently working with Mark on our succession plans. I stress the need for communication. Talk about the elephant in the room. I think we might be a success story. And he signs his email, Pat, garbage man of leisure. So kudos, Mark. It sounds like you got somebody launched in the right direction.
He's a character.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so we're talking about, if you want to join this session, we're talking about the Oregon Farm Bureau's annual meeting at Salishan Lodge in Glen Eden Beach. The Farm and Ranch Succession Workshop is at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday, December 10th, followed by a happy hour. Maybe those should be reversed in order, but we'll figure it out some other time. Our thanks to Mark Wickman, Nellie McAdams, Diana Turney, and Maria Schmidlkoffer, the entire panel, for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Appreciate you all being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange.